Good morning, man. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 1-4. And it reads, "Then Jesus was well led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" We know that we've been in a teaching talking about the voices of the flesh. And we know that there's four voices of the world, the flesh, the devil, and the Holy Spirit. Here we're talking about the flesh. And just to start off, I want to tell you something that I've dealt with in my own personal life. When it dealt with flesh, flesh can come in any type of way. Well, before I moved to my new home, I stayed in a Central Florida area, but one of the main roads always was heavy with traffic. And just like myself, trying to get home after a long day of work in every other car, if you knew this route, you can go the back route, which we like to call shortcuts. We all know that shortcuts sometimes don't really give us the thing that we really need. So I would go this way, which is a back road that will take you to eliminate all the traffic and get you to your destination a little bit faster. But during this destination, or this back road shortcut, if we call it, it had one light. Now, the culture of this back road was that the light would stay red for a long time, and when it turns green, only about a few cars can get through it. But that was the caveat of taking this shortcut. Do I want to go through the traffic or deal with this light? And the culture of that light was people would look both ways and take the red light because it was just that long. So it happened to be that I was going through the shortcut and got caught by the red light. So I was at the red light, and all the cars that normally take this shortcut were looking and tooting their horn, wondering why I wasn't taking that red light. I'm going to be honest with you, flesh rose up because it was a long day and it told me, and I looked both ways. I'm thinking, I really want to take this light to just keep going. But I was sitting there at the light, and it probably took a little bit more time than usual with what the other cars would do if they were ahead of me. So a car from behind me didn't like the time frame and decided to go around me. And as they went around me to go through the red light, they got T-boned by another car. I was contemplating with flesh, thinking, should I do it? Another car behind me was contemplating as well. And we see the outcome that happened. I could have been impatient, took the light, or just waited and know that I would be one of the three cars that would make it through. But those are certain things that we deal with on a daily basis when we deal with flesh. Here it is in this story. It's a familiar story. Jesus went up to go fast. He was led up to the mountains. He was led up to the wilderness to go fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And after he came off his sabbatical, his fast, he was hungry. You think about that. He was weak. His spirit was weak, his body was weak, and his flesh, you can imagine, was weak. You think about 40 days and 40 nights of fast and no food, no anything, you can give me 3 hours and I'll be ready to eat again after I just finished eating a huge meal. So imagine 40 days and 40 nights. So as he's there, 40 days and 40 nights, the tempter, who is the enemy, comes up and tries to speak to him and let him know, you know what? If you are the man of God, how about you turn these stones into bread? Now, could you imagine you talking about food after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and then to mention knowing who you are? Jesus is like, I know who I am. I know I can do this. I know that I can change these things into bread. And what weak person at that point of time says, you know what? I'm really hungry. And to show you that I can do it, you know, ego can come in sometimes when we deal with flesh. And to show you that I can do it, and then to satisfy my hunger, I can do it as well. But at that point of time, his response was so genuine. And it told him, man should not live by bread alone. You know, when we're dealing with the flesh, I look at flesh as like a spoiled person or a spoiled brat. Flesh will holler, it will scream, it will whine, until it gets the attention or the satisfaction that it desires. There's been so many times I can tell you that I fell into flesh or the decision of flesh just to keep it quiet. You're annoyed by it. You hear it. It's constantly nagging at you, trying to get you or pull you to away. And I can tell you, there's been several times that I told myself, you know what, I'll limit myself from eating chocolate or I'm going to start this diet. And I can hear flesh screaming and hollering at me. Hey, get that piece of chocolate. Get this piece of candy. Eat it. And it's just as simple as that when we deal with it. Though that flesh can be on a higher grand scale of things as well. But these are just some of the little things that we may deal with. God only knows some of the huge things that some of us may deal with that we have to calm and control our flesh with when you think about it. Because sometimes we'll be able to act when flesh calls on us and then finally end up with the result, like, how did I get here? Not knowing that we let flesh take control of our thoughts, take control of our abilities, our mindset, and our will as well. But he was strong in this place. And we look at it as we begin to center ourselves when we look at these things. And there's a few things that I looked at when I've said, you know what, dealing with flesh, there's some things that we have to do. There's some things that we really have to look at and some things that we have to do. And it says this, the first thing that we have to do when we're dealing with flesh, because if we don't do these things, we'll be left into a situation not knowing how to handle it. And we may end up with a result that we didn't ultimately want. Why not take flesh by the horns and deal with it the way that we want? So the first thing we have to do is to acknowledge it. And when we look at it, acknowledge, when we're dealing with situations or dealing with flesh, it says this, to accept or to admit the existence of the truth. I will not, in this situation, when we look at it, what Jesus did with it, he acknowledged it. Okay, I just finished fasting. You asked me to turn the stones into bread, which I could. And then I will turn it into something that I need that will satisfy my hunger. I'm hungry right now. I've been fasting for 40 days. This is what I would do. I can do it. So he acknowledged it. See, sometimes we fall into the pitfall of flesh when we don't acknowledge that it's there. Because when we look at it in the acknowledgement, it gives us time to really make a decision. It gives us time to look at the whole broad aspect of things. And it gives us time to look at our pros and cons of really dealing with this situation. When you don't acknowledge it, you're left to what's there and falling right into the pitfall of what flesh is really presenting to you. Flesh is going to cry, flesh is going to whine, and it's going to scream and holler until it gets your attention. And we understand and we know when we have things that's out of place, that's constantly nagging at us, we'll do what we need to do to get it to be quiet, to stop hearing from it again. So we have to acknowledge it. He did a great job of doing it. He did a great job of doing it when he heard the words come from the tempter and said, you know what, this is what I'll do. But I'll respond within to let you know that, hey, we understand that man cannot live by bread alone. We'll do it. So if we go to the next part, when I said that we were doing Matthew chapter 4, that was the first one. But in these whole 10 verses, there was 1 through 10, there was some times that he was tempted by the flesh, his own flesh, and with certain things that he can do. So if you go to Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, it says this. It says, then the devil took him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down. For it is written that the angels will charge and concern in thee, and that their hands, they shall bear thee up, lest the time that thou should thou foot against a stone. So he's telling him, you know what? I'll take you up to the top of a pinnacle. You being God at this weak moment, this weak time after fasting, and cast yourself down. And let's see the angels catch you before you even touch the ground. Once again, he's there. He's dealing with a situation. Flesh weak, mind weak, body weak, soul weak. And you're tempting me at a point, and I just want to get you quiet to show you, you know what? I could do this. I could do this. I could cast myself down. My flesh will want to speak and say, you know what? I'll do this and show you what I can do. My flesh will speak out and say, you know what? I'll cast myself down and allow the angels to do it. But he responded and said, it is written again that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You shall not. When we deal with flesh, and we look at this, we understand and we see and we know that we would like to act on it and keep our flesh together, our flesh to show and say, you know what? Stand up, show that you can do it. You don't want to be looked at the bad place or outcome. So the first thing we had to do was we had to acknowledge. We had to acknowledge. And in this second part as well, he acknowledged. He accepted the existence and the truth in both parts. I can see that your word is going forth, asking me to do something, and then my existence as well. I can do it too. I can show you. So the next thing we're left with, when we're dealing with the flesh, the voice you hear constantly going and talking, is, am I going to act on this situation? When we look at the word act, it tells us this. It says it's the action to do something, the urge to do something, or taking action according to or in the light of. At this position, I can take action in this situation. When you're dealing with flesh, flesh wants to lean more onto that action part to get the fulfillment and to also show, even if there's a challenge. I know one thing about myself. Growing up, flesh would always get in the way, because growing up as a young man, you hang around your friends, there's nothing but challenges. And then you'll go from challenge to challenge to challenge, and it'll never end. It'll start off about, hey, I bet you can't throw the ball from here to across the street. Okay, I throw it from here across the street. Hey, I bet you can't throw the ball from here to two streets over. Okay, I bet you can't throw the ball from here. Next thing I know, we're trying to throw the ball from the sidewalk over the house into the backyard. So when you begin to entertain your flesh, it won't just stop there, because it'll never be satisfied. So the next thing we have to do, after we begin to acknowledge it, we have to know that the existence is there. The second thing is this: you have to really depend on yourself and find out, am I going to act on this? Is this really worth it? What could happen if I acted out this flesh? If I act out what's being presented to me, what could my outcomes be? So that's the great thing about acknowledging it. And then you understand about, okay, if I line my actions up with my acknowledgement, where would it be? Would it lead me? Will I be in an ongoing cycle of fulfilling flesh because it's never satisfied? Or do I just act on it in a different way? How do I act on these things? What should I do? What outlets are there for me? And then what will be the eternal outcome from it? After all, we understand and know that flesh will never be satisfied. It'll never be satisfied. And it tells us it's bringing a light. It's mean taking an action according to the light of something really certain, or it's the urge of something. The more you hear people say certain things, as in your flesh, the more you want to kill that urge of, you know what, you're not going to talk to me this way, lean into me, but let me just do it so I can get it over with and it'll be done. Here again, also, in these same passages, three times within 10 verses, Jesus was tempted. And this is where he was tempted, but where his flesh was the ultimate person to have the outcome. You could be tempted, but what is your flesh going to ask for you to do? How can your flesh begin to pan you out to make sure that you're making the right decision? And the last thing that came up with him on those verses, when we begin to look at it, it says this. It says, again, the devil took him up to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. You mean to tell me that you're tempting someone that already has everything, that you would give them something that they already own? See, certain times when we're dealing with flesh, it can cause us to act out of character. You already know what you can do. You already know how you can handle it. And you already know what you cannot do. So being tempted by your flesh that's constantly pulling on you and calling on you and asking you to do certain things, you're left with an ultimate decision. You're left with a decision on, I'm acknowledging it. Do I act on it? Or my last thing, do I abort what my flesh is telling me to do? When we look at abort, it just means to bring a premature end to something. It means to bring a premature end. Meaning, the times that we'll sit there with flesh and go back and forth, battling, questioning, trying to figure out what could happen, I'm going to abort the mission that flesh is trying to deploy me to, because I know what the outcome can ultimately be. And furthermore, I will not sit here and hold a conversation about what the benefits will come out of if I was to appease you, which you are flesh. Jesus in that instance responded this, and here's the great abortion. Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him, and you shall only serve him." The great abort. Get thee behind. Sometimes we got to talk to our flesh. And the reason why our flesh feels that it can lie dormant with those decisions and those things with us, because we're not giving it a location to go to. I urge you that the next time that flesh begins to rise up, and you're stuck with a situation, let's just be honest, man. We know some of the situations that we may even come against, things that may urge us, that may push us, whether it be financial, it could be with our eyes, it could be with our words, it could be with our thoughts, it could be with our physical abilities. We have to make sure that during the process and we're dealing with flesh, we have to have a place to send it. You think about it, when you don't want certain people, things around, you tell it to go. Go somewhere, get away. Or we begin to move away from it as well. We have to have a place for it to go, the ultimate abort. So we acknowledge it. We have to know that the existence is there. I'm not going to act like I don't deal with these things. Now, I'm stuck in a tangle of fighting back and forth. Do I act on it? I gave us some time. We have some things that we face with right now that as we're getting ready, after this, before work, during work, some things that's been laying right there before us. Do I act on it? Do I act on it? Some of us already had a predetermined mindset already. This is what I'm going to do. But is that you speaking from the spirit, or is that your flesh saying, I know this is what I need to do. I know this is what's going to happen. I know this is my outcome. Or do you face it and sit back and really take the time and say, I have somewhere for it to go, and I'm really going to abort this. I will not allow my flesh to deploy me to certain areas in life that can ultimately cause me everything that I worked hard for, or even ultimately my life. My flesh does not have enough strength to push me to a place I have enough power over it, because I can send it somewhere and I can move on to what I need to do. I can move on and I know that it'll be done. So we have to acknowledge his existence. We have to find out how we're going to act on it. And then ultimately, is it just worth for me to abort the whole thing? Because it's not worth me risking everything. As hungry as Jesus was, as much power that he knew he possessed, he did not fall into the trap of his flesh taking over and being the responder or the speaker for him in that situation. He knew what he had to do to make sure that the outcome was the outcome that was needed to be successful in that area, in that point of life at that time. So men, on today, as we're dealing with flesh, I just want to prepare you and let you know you're going to be tempted. It may be at that stop sign. Do I stop fully? It may be something with my eyes that are locked into something that doesn't belong to me. It may be something dealing with financial, anything that flesh can squeeze into, it'll be into it. You're left with the ultimate decision. What do I do? Jesus showed us that he has the strength to do it, and he did it. He abides in us, and we lean on him. He can give us the same strength that we need to pull through and make sure that the outcome is successful as it is. So, men, I just want to encourage you today, before we make a decision, before we tend to hush flesh up because it's crying and needs attention, take that time for those three A's. Make sure that you acknowledge, you decide how to act, and is it worth it to abort on those things. God bless you, and I'll pray out on today. Dear Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for these mighty men that you allow to gather. We ask right now, God, that you just bless us. We don't have all the answers. We don't have all the strength. God, we know that you placed us in this world to do great things, and we know that we can't do them without you. So we ask on today, God, that as we begin to fight something that we can't physically or tangibly touch, that you begin to help us arrest the flesh, God, as we're dealt with situations that may be before us. God, we know that you can do it. We know that you're our leader, and we ask that you guide us. We won't go before you, God, and we won't lag far behind you, God. We'll stay so close to hear your voice and decisions and things that we need to make and do. We thank you, God, for all the things that you have already brought us past. And we thank you for the word that you're giving us today, for the things that we're going to face in the future. And we ask that you allow us to apply it to our lives. We thank you and we love you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. God bless you.